Welcome to Build Your Dream Network. I'm Kelly Hoey. I see people struggling to connect effectively all the time, so I created this podcast to help you master your network building needs. Whether you're seeking a new job, looking for a promotion, or scaling your business, you need a network, and you're in the right place to get the advice you need. And don't worry, my advice is real. It's actionable and practical because it's the advice I follow and is what has transformed my career from the traditional to the unexpected. So let's get started. My guest today on the podcast is Joyce Sullivan. Joyce is Senior Vice President and Leader for Global Workforce Transformation at the firm LHH, formerly known as Lee Heck Harrison. LHH is known for career transition, professional coaching, and leadership development. LHH works with organizations around the globe in the many facets of workforce transformation. Joyce, who is also a friend, you're going to hear all about that, oversees the Northeast region of the U.S. as Director of Operations. Essentially, she's the CEO of their day-to-day operations here in the Northeast. Joyce is here to talk about how you navigate your own career transition, especially if you're caught up in your company's restructuring, downsizing, right-sizing, workforce realignment, or whatever the heck it's being called these days. She's also been through her own career transformation when her role at a global financial services company was eliminated in the turmoil of the 2008 financial crisis. Welcome, Joyce, to the show.
Thanks, Kelly. Glad to be here.
It's awesome to have you here. I'm thinking back to one of our first or second conversations. We were on a park bench in, Madison Square Park. I think it was before the Shake Shack was there, and it was in the midst of the turmoil of all of that craziness of the financial crisis. Now, COO, what do you really do, Joyce?
What do I really do? So I like to describe my job as I create environments for talented people to thrive and try to do the next right thing.
That's amazing. So what's a typical Tuesday in your job?
Typical Tuesday. So my office is here in New York City. As you mentioned, I oversee a number of offices throughout the Northeast. But every Tuesday, we have individuals come in whose companies, for whatever reason, they restructured. And these individuals have gotten an outplacement program. So every Tuesday, we have what's called Charting Your Course, and we invite people to walk through the doors to come through an orientation. A couple of months ago, I've been in this job almost 3 years, I realized it was really important to me to show up and to say hello to these people out of work. So what I'll do is, they'll come in at 9:30, I will introduce myself. There's always a coach there who will take them through the program.
Because you're not doing any coaching of
No, I'm not okay. At this point. I loved it, but I really wanted to create this great environment for amazing coaches to thrive and to help people.
Yeah.
So that's the role I'm in now. Right. But I have done it. But it's my one day a week that I get to go in and say hello to the new people. And what I'll typically say to them, I'll introduce myself. I'll give them my big title. Because again, they've been laid off. And I want them to know somebody, quote unquote, who is got a big title, is paying attention. But what I'll do is tell them, when you walk through that door today, if this is the first time you've been through this or you've been through this many times before, I'm here to tell you that everything you need you brought with you, it's between your ears. And you're going to meet the most amazing people. And they're like, oh, who's that? Because you're here. And there's typically anywhere from 35 to 50 people in the room. And they start to look around at each other like, oh, who's that person? So I try to give them a sense of, you know what, you've got this and you're in the right place and we're going to take amazing good care of you. And then I introduce one of the coaches and I'll tell them, 10 years ago, I went through this myself. I walked through a similar door, sat at a similar table. And I remember thinking, last time I was out of work, I was 13. I was never out of work. And all of a sudden, the financial services industry had a bit of a hiccup, the way I put it. And I showed up and I looked at it, and I kind of look at the coach and jokingly say, and I looked at the coach and thought, well, what do you people know? But not this person, it was somebody else. But what I did was I was open to listening and to learning of what was possible. And it was the most extraordinary experience. So I have not been there for 11 years. I went on my own career journey of, reinvention, a couple of other things, which we can get into. But the main thing is for people who are listening, you know, if you're going through this, check out if your company's offered some kind of outplacement. Mm-hmm. Or ask, say, you know what, I'd really like to work with an organization that can help me figure this out.
Right.
So anyway, that's a little bit of what Tuesdays are about.
You're touching on important points. I mean, for some people, this is going to be the first time that they have ever gone through something like this. They may be more advanced in their career, so there's a heck of a lot of uncertainty that comes with that. I think we still have notions in our mind in terms of where opportunities are going to come from. And we think, you know, kind of the, you know, the knight in shining armor, you know, someone senior is going to be, you know, that still matters, and not realizing that the people they have around them is their most important network of relationships. I also love that you say to them the most important thing, besides the peers that they've got in the program, I love that you say that the most important thing is what's between their ears. To, you know, share a little story, when I was doing a book tour event up in Moncton, this guy who had been laid off, and he was in his mid-40s. And, you know, when he was laid off, the company said, hey, take all the time you need to, you know, clean out your office. And he basically said, no, just a second. You know, for those of us old enough to remember a Rolodex, he just grabbed his Rolodex. He grabbed his business cards he'd collected. He grabbed his contact list. And he said, Kelly, if I have relationships, I got my next thing. And that was a pretty powerful moment for me, you know, having someone share that story. Yeah. You talked about a little bit in your answer to the what's your typical Tuesday-like question, but what makes someone successful in a career transition?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, you know, people will come, especially very senior people, who their job has been to always to know the answer and to be, you know, assertive and say, well, just get me a list of recruiters. And I'll tell them, let's talk about industries that have been disrupted. And the recruiting industry, okay? Yeah, there's still recruiters. However, now HR professionals have an enterprise license at LinkedIn, and they just get people served up right in their inbox. Saves them a lot of money from recruiters. So I'm telling you, it's networking. And before you maybe hit that online job, pause and figure out, wait a minute, who do I know at that company? And reach out, because they could make a warm introduction. Also, HR professionals have hundreds of people who are applying, and they'll think, where do I even start? And if they've got somebody say, hey, got this great person, I know they just applied, you come right to the top of the pile. So networking is everything.
Yeah, add that on with inserting the pause and being open and knowing that, you know, things work differently, and being prepared to, you know, try those out rather than what worked when you got your first job, you know, 10, 15, 20, whatever years ago, or a shorter time for some people. We sort of hit a couple of words here, you know, coach, recruiter. What's the difference between a coach and a recruiter, and why work with a coach? And also, what are some of the questions someone should be asking before hiring a coach?
Great question. What I would say to somebody, especially if your company offers some kind of an outplacement program, many times you're assigned a coach. That could just come with the package. But what I would say is you want to approach it as a partnership. And ask your coach, how do I get the best out of our working relationship? And really create a great environment for you to partner versus telling them, here's what you have to do for me, or expecting them to do everything. Really ask the question and together figure out what's going to work for you. I think that's an amazing way to start. And the people who do that not only have a great working relationship, but they get what they need in a way that works for them. Because everybody's different of how they approach things.
Yeah, and I think it's so important to realize that, you know, the coach is there as a sort of a partner and not to do the work for you.
Yeah, they're a guide. They're really a guide that will help you through this process. Like, I'll tell people, look, have somebody work on their marketing plan. And, you know, there's different ways we say how to do that. But then after you're done, then send a note to your coach. Say, hey, did my marketing plan? Can I get on your calendar to go through it? So really take the initiative to do the work, and you'll get so much more out of it.
Yeah, here's where I want to go next in this conversation. And we both, you know, sort of have been through career searches. You know, mine was, I'm going to say, voluntary when I, you know, wanted to stop practicing laws, and yours involuntary with the financial crisis. So when you kind of get over that scary part, it's kind of liberating, because it's an opportunity to make a kind of fresh start, especially, you know, if you've been in a role that you've outgrown or you haven't been happy with. How do you suggest people figure out what they actually may be good at? We had talked about this before. You had a three circles exercise. Oh, right. But yeah. how do you help people figure out what they're good at?
Okay. So what I suggest, and I've used it for years with advice to friends and others, is that I want you to take a piece of paper, never mind what app, or just a piece of paper, and draw three circles, three concentric circles, one inside the other. And inside the middle circle, I want you to make a list of all of your most trusted contacts, the people that have your back, that will tell you the truth and would do anything for you. So those are the people in the middle. The second circle is kind of your, you know, close associates and people maybe you've worked directly with, again, that know you pretty well. And then the third circle is people you're aware of, you don't really know, but, you know, you have some association. And then I have people just make a list, because people will say, especially those who've been in jobs for, you know, 15, 20, 25 years, and they'll tell me, I don't have a network. And I'm like, I want you to make this list. And, you know, then share your list. And they're always shocked at how many people they do know that they hadn't really thought about. And then I help people, help them organize their lists and to approach people not in the, hi, I need a J-O-B, but, you know, here's what I'm thinking about. So once you make your list, then I have this exercise that I really encourage people to do. And I'll have them ask. Sometimes they do it in person, sometimes by email. I want you to ask one by one, don't send a group list. What do you think I'm really good at? Not what you're bad at, what you're really good at. Because what I found is the very thing that is your secret sauce and what lights up the world for everybody else, you just take for granted. You think, oh, it's no big deal. Anybody could do fill in the blank. And I've always found people to be shocked at what they hear back from people that they're good at. I went through that experience when I was in transition. I figured, oh, I'm a financial analyst. And I'm in my networking group, and I said something, and they're like, oh, you're a marketer. I thought, I've never had a marketing job. But I thought, wait, there's 25 people telling me. Maybe I should pay attention. So I find this a great exercise. It's very revealing. And you do it with people who have your back and will take care of you, but will tell you the truth.
Right. Yeah. And should you ask the other circles as well the same question?
I think it depends. I like people to get their kind of inner circle answers first to kind of think about it. Sometimes that's enough.
Yep.
But it gives them a foundation to maybe go forward.
Right. It might be one of those things where once your inner circle tells you one thing, you can test the waters with those outer circles. I'm sort of sitting here laughing and smiling because, you know, when I think about my own case in terms of writing a book on networking, you know, I had a boss back in, 2005, 2006, who said to me, you need to tell people, you know, how you do this thing networking. And I think I told him he was an idiot or something along those lines. And you know, years later, having to kind of eat crow when I told him that this was what I was finally doing. But, you know, I was like, this was the stupidest idea I thought anyone had ever proposed to me, because I was like, doesn't everyone do it this way? Like, what's the big deal? But anyway, once again, Tim Whitney, thank you. And thank you for sharing that exercise, because I think anyone listening could just do that right now, whether you're in career transition or not. Like, that's a great exercise. It'll help reveal who your network is. And then that's a very simple question, as opposed to going for some big 360 review or, you know, being sent some sort of online survey. It's a very simple question. What do you think I'm good at? Let's go to this. I want to ask you, asking for help, it's kind of a two-sided thing. There's an ask and then there's the willingness to help. In preparing for our conversation today, you and I talked a lot about currency and social, the whole social, reputational, all those aspects of currency. I think that would be really helpful for listeners as they think about their own currency, but also the currency of the person that they're relying on for assistance.
Yeah, no, thanks. I live by this. And over the years that you and I have known each other, especially, you know, as the world has gone from analog to digital, when you think about what is important to you and what something's worth, you know, here's a list. All right. Yeah, there's currency, getting paid. Obviously, that's important to, you know, keep the roof over our head. But there's reputational currency. Look, if I'm going to recommend somebody, I'm putting my reputational currency on the line. I'm willing to spend that because that means something to me. Influence currency. Are you in a position to help influence or open a door? That's currency that maybe you're willing to spend. And in the same way of, you know, kind of giving and getting, I was at a conference a couple of years ago in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And this guy was talking about, he said, you know, my father, you know, we grew up, and he said, I want you to take out your address book and put a G or a T next to each person's name. And I thought, gin and tonic?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And he said, are they a giver or a taker?
Oh.
And, you know, again, you think about who are the people who are willing to give and who are the people willing to take. So, you know, be that person who just offers a helping hand. Just be generous. I mean, generosity, I think now there's lots of books and things written about it, but so few people will do the next right thing just because,
mm-hmm.
and people never forget.
Right.
And so, so I always tell people, think about different kinds of currency, of what you're willing to give and spend, what you're willing to take. And for those people who call you when they never are there to help, but to just to give, you know, how often are you willing to take their call? There's people, they call me, I pick up no matter what. Other people, I thought, you leave a message. I think about currency of not just cash, but what your reputation is worth, how you influence, and everything else that's important to you. And is that growing or shrinking? And then make sure you, what I call, fill your own spiritual gas tank, whatever you want to call it, of making sure you're doing things to continue to lift yourself up and make sure you're full and feeling generous and not just always giving. So anyway, that's a little bit about my definition of currency.
Well, I like that idea of like your sort of your capacity to give, like your energy to give, but also, you know, I often say to people, you got to have a bank account that you can make withdrawals on, because that's why you show up every day for your network. Joyce, I want to ask you one last thing, because, you know, those listening to the podcast aren't sitting here in the room watching the two of us record this. And I know you love what you do. Why do you love what you do these days?
God. You know, I never thought I would be in the job I'm in. When I lost my job in 2008, I remember my biggest fear was getting fired, and it happened, and my life didn't end. And so it freed me from the fear of that happening, because it happened. And I found that I have now met, and I can help, the most amazing people in the world. When I was in, you know, outplacement 10 years ago, and I'd show up, and I thought, oh my God, I'm meeting the most amazing people. And I would be at the coffee machine shaking hands, and they're all like, do you work here? I'm like, no, I'm a client. They're like, why are you so nice to me? I said, well, you're here. And so from 10 years, I've networked with those people. We've referred each other. We've recommended. We've been on stage together speaking publicly. And I get to meet amazing people every day. And so, as I said, my main role, I really think of my mission, is to create environments for talented people to thrive and for people who forgot how amazing they are because they lost their job. They're still amazing. So sometimes I say I'm in the hope business, and it's really instilling that hope. And also, people kid me on Tuesdays. I have this really bright yellow jacket I wear, and I call it my sunshine jacket because it's all about hope.
That's awesome. Thanks, Joyce.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Build Your Dream Network. Stay connected and don't miss a networking insight by subscribing to the podcast. And while you're there, I'd love you to rate and review the show too. Are you looking for more networking advice? Pick up a copy of my book, Build Your Dream Network. It's your guide to modern networking. I'd like to hear your networking questions, tips, and ideas. Connect with me via my website, jkellyhoey.co. You'll find links to all my social media accounts, plus a contact form to email me your questions. I'm Kelly Hoey, and I'll be back again next week to tackle your networking challenges.